I'm joined on the Skype right now with independent journalist and writer Dawn Paley, who is going to be speaking to us today from her home in Puebla, Mexico. Dawn, welcome to the program.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
So you have a new book that is just about to come out on AK Press. It's called Drug War Capitalism. You're about to actually leave to do a tour around the U.S. and Canada to launch the book. So tell us a little bit more. What is Drug War Capitalism?
Well, the book is looks at the drug war in Mexico, Colombia, Honduras, and Guatemala in a critical light, examining how drug war policies, state policies in all these countries that have been supported by the U.S. through things like Plan Colombia and the Merit Initiative here in Mexico. It looks at how those policies actually help to create conditions for investment and increase the ability of transnational capital to penetrate territories, both physical territories and social territories, in all these countries through terror, basically. I mean, the main technique is terror. I sort of articulate three different ways in which policies or overarching aid packages like the Merida Initiative assist transnational capital. The first is through the promotion of new laws, new regulations, new justice systems in the countries where they're applied, all of which tend towards deepening neoliberalism. The second is militarization, which is the one that folks are probably most familiar with. So like here in Mexico, you have the federal police and the gendarmerie, which over the past 7 years, since the drug war was started here in 2006, have been super militarized. Like in a lot of cities, there's no transit police, there's no municipal police anymore. There's federal police. All federal police get military training. Some federal police are actually soldiers dressed as police. There's generals in charge of police departments all over the country. They have new weapons, et cetera. And this is, you know, on the pretext of fighting drug cartels. But again, what we see is that, you know, the victims and the violence that occurs in places like Ciudad Juárez, for example, just on the border with El Paso, is directly connected to, you know, surges in the number of federal police in the city and the number of soldiers in the city. So you have the promotion of militarization, which, you know, also lends itself to the protection of capital and investments in places throughout Mexico. And the third is paramilitarization. So I don't really talk, I mean, I talk a little bit about drug cartels in the book, but I think that we it's more productive to see these drug cartels as actually functioning more like paramilitary groups, which, you know, arm themselves in response to state militarization. Many of them are made up of segments of, you know, state forces or ex-special forces, et cetera. And these groups, you know, supposedly are narco-trafficking groups, but in practice, they're, you know, far more dependent on things like extortion. And again, I argue that based on Colombia and based on a couple examples here in Mexico, that that process of paramilitarization also protects or tends toward protecting the interests of transnational capital.
I want to shift the focus a little bit. And of course, you know, part of the work that you do, besides, you know, writing this book, is you're active with the Media Co-op, which is, of course, a partner of ours here at CKUT. I want to shift back to one of the cases, the example you just brought up of the horrible and tragic events that happened in Guerrero earlier this month with 43 disappeared Mexican students. You've been writing about this case for the Media Co-op. And in one of the blog postings you put up, you wrote, there have been hundreds of clandestine mass graves dug and filled with corpses since Felipe Calderón declared the war on drugs in December 2006. What are some of the links we could talk about between this incident of these 43 disappeared students that many in Mexico and in the diaspora and in communities around North America are talking about now, and the drug war at large?
Yeah, I mean, the events in Ayotzinapa, which, you know, just to give a quick summary, on September 26th and September 27th, police in Iguala killed six people, including three students from a teacher's college. And then they kidnapped 43 students. These are students at, again, a rural teaching college. They're between the ages of like 18 and 23. Reports are saying basically that they kidnapped 23 of them because that's as many as they could fit into their patrol cars. Initially, the students were detained by police, and official discourse tells us that the police passed the students off to members of a drug cartel or a gang called Guerreros Unidos. However, you know, I and others, have been insisting that this is a state crime, and the group, you know, that the cops are collaborating with in terms of, you know, having disappeared these students is a paramilitary group operating. It's coming out every day more evidence with full support of the state of Guerrero, you know, members of the state of Guerrero, members of the municipality of Iguala, and likely also members of the, you know, federal government of Mexico. This event is taking place in a context of a country that has had 150,000 homicides over the last 7 years, where, you know, some estimates say that there's over 40,000 people who've been disappeared. Migrants' rights groups say there could be as many as 120,000 migrants who've been killed and buried in clandestine mass graves throughout the country over the last 7 years. What's different with Ayotzinapa is that it has woken up the people of Mexico for sure. I mean, I have not experienced demonstrations of this size, of this frequency. Like I was telling you just before we came on the air, like we're in assemblies at the university where I'm studying on a weekly basis. There's events happening almost every day. There's fund drives. There's forums. There's people are really struggling to understand what's going on. But you know, Ayotzinapa comes after many, many massacres in this country, you know, and mass graves containing hundreds of bodies. And like I said, over 40,000 people disappeared. So, you know, Ayotzinapa is sort of like the drop that, made the water spill over the glass. The 43 students, the Mexican government has repeatedly tried to employ what I in my book call cartel wars discourse, which is essentially linking the students with organized crime, saying, you know, that the students had been used, or that students were sort of pawns of a drug cartel, and that's why the other drug cartel killed them. These students who are, who were not disappeared and who are continuing the search for their friends and comrades and the parents and families of the missing students have absolutely rejected this discourse, as they should. It's a totally false discourse, but, you know, it's one way of you know, that they've been maintaining this war here in Mexico is by constantly linking the victims of state terror with criminality and, projecting that they're somehow responsible for their own disappearance or for their own death. Part of it is this, it fits within the discursive framework of the drug war that does benefit the state in terms of the state trying to separate itself from these acts of terror, when in fact, you know, like I said, these are acts of state terror carried out by agents, of repressive agents of the state. But also, the militarization, Guerrero has historically been a far more militarized state than the rest of the country. But there's no doubt that drug war policies have strengthened paramilitarism as well as strengthened militarism in the state of Guerrero. So, there's dozens of paramilitary groups in Guerrero. And, I argue through my book that part of the reason that there's so many new groups is because of a strategy of attacking existing groups of drug traffickers, so splitting them into smaller groups and also forcing them to arm themselves more. I think it does need to be considered within, the framework of a war that is about capital and it's about destroying communities. It's about destroying people's relationships with each other and with the land.
Again, we're speaking with journalist and writer Don Paley, who's joining us by Skype from Puebla, Mexico. Lastly, you're going to be leaving to go on a book launch tour starting November 12th, going around the west coast of the states, and eventually making its way through eastern Canada. Should be a launch here in Montreal later in December. The book is actually available for order right now through AK Press, akpress.org. org. Don, lastly, this is, of course, the CKUT funding drive, where we are looking for the support of our listeners to keep stories like this. You know, what is happening in Mexico? How is it deeply involved in our lives here in Montreal and throughout the Canadian state? So lastly, just as a bit of a pitch, why would you say it's important for people to support independent media such as CKUT?
It's crucial. I mean, it's the folks I've been talking to in Canada, because I have been doing these updates, like you said, for the Media Co-op. You know, folks have been writing me and saying, well, all we've heard about these students in Canada is that they're kind of like communists, and, you know, they're bothersome, and they're always protesting. So, you know, people who are reading the mainstream media are being exposed to the official version of what's happening, which is, you know, believe it or not, somehow the official version is managing to justify and normalize the kidnapping of 43 students by police and the disappearance of those students for now what is over a month. And that's why we need independent media. Independent media is the only media that, you know, I think is rational right now in terms of telling the story of what's happening, not only in Mexico, but in Canada, with all these, you know, with this events that have happened in Ottawa. Like, let's, you know, the voice of reason right now is an independent media. Like, we don't need more powers for CSIS and more anti-terror measures in Canada. We need, you know, we need healthcare, we need education, we need better mental health services, you know, no war, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, without the independent media, like, we just don't get exposed to those voices. So I think it's crucial that folks, you know, who can, just throw down whatever you can for CKUT, totally one of the best radio stations, I think, in the country. And, you know, as well as supporting financially, just like spread the word and, you know, keep it tuned in to 90.3 FM.
Again, Don Paley, author of Drug War Capitalism, out now on AK Press. You can find more of her writing up on our website, donpaley.ca. Don, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. It's been a pleasure.